let's go ahead and jump into just real quick here, page 361. And we're going to finish up on this page and start, let's see, 360 spiritual differences between men and women is what we're kind of dealing with. Amen? Yes. Good evening. And we've come a long way in this. I want to wrap this up so Brother John can kick off and start back in our soul winning module that we were doing for a little while that he was leading and going to jump back into. And I want to give him a few minutes at the end of this to be able to get us back thinking that way for next week. So we looked on 361, and we were looking at the different. The whole premise there was is that. Of course, we know men and women are different in so many ways, but spiritually speaking, and we were showing how that women oftentimes are the target of Satan to deceive spiritually before a man is. And this is not an indictment against a woman or to say men are overly spiritual. No, the problem in our country right now is men aren't spiritual, and our country is going to pot because men aren't leading and letting their wives manipulate them. And all that, and it needs to stop. And men have to be leaders. We live in a deceptive day, and it's an emotional day, and the whole world is playing on emotion. And the fear factor today is through the roof. Amen. I mean, there's literally people that haven't come to the tent because they're afraid of that area. I don't understand it. I mean, I traipse Kaylee through all those places. Amen. I'm not afraid. If God's with us, who can be against us? Amen. And so I know I'm supposed to be there. But there's a lot of people that are afraid, running in fear of a virus, running. I don't know, it's a real virus. Kyle's laying in the hospital still from it. And so we get it. We understand that. But even with that, these aren't things to be afraid of. These are things that we draw nigh to God because God's going to lead us. If God's leading and directing, I mean, if you're in a minefield and you're frightened, you're probably going to step on a mine. If you're afraid and you're fear in your heart, You're going to make a wrong choice, right? But if God's leading you through, do you think he knows where the mines are?
Yep.
So if you're being led by God, then you're not going to step on that mine. Does that make sense? And so God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Healthy mind. A mind that thinks clearly because God's leading. So no matter, but women, we understand, are a little bit more emotional, amen? This again, this is not an indictment. This is just being real, amen? Women are a little more emotional. Us guys are often said we're not emotional enough, amen? And I get it. I sometimes I see things so factually and clearly, yeah, I might not be as tender or as compassionate as maybe someone perceives that I should be, amen? But my wife helps balance me out in that area, which is a blessing. But the point is that we noted, and we've already gone over this, but how women are more seemingly susceptible to that emotional deceptive pool and that reason, like how the devil approached her in the garden. And so the way sin entered in, the Bible says by one man sin entered, absolutely, but that process for him to fall was Satan approaching the wife first, and then he knowingly, she was deceived. She unknowingly, in a sense, she was deceived, it says, but she was still in transgression. But he knowingly ate, whether it was love for his wife or there's a whole lot of reasons, but he knowingly, and so he entered into it factually. And so, by the way, that's why Old Testament, a woman can make a vow and the husband can annul it, right? That's there. But if a husband made or a man made a vow, he's bound by it. Because the need there for that, and men are just different. So we've looked here on page 361 at a number of these instances. We looked at the first one there, Rebecca and Jacob. We looked at Miriam and Moses, how that all worked out. Of course, Miriam getting Aaron on board and then going against Moses. We looked at Samson and Delilah, how Delilah, we look at that whole thing and we think, Samson, what in the world were you thinking? And but nonetheless, we know the devil used Delilah to get to him. We looked at the many strange wives, it says here, reference to Solomon. That's that blank there. How they pulled his heart away from God. And women can do that. We noted Jezebel there with Ahab and how I think Ahab already had those tendencies, but Jezebel absolutely over the top. And then let's look very quickly in just a couple minutes we have here in reference to Job's wife. There in Job chapter 2. Now, turning over there, understand that for all that took place there with Job, all her children died. That would bring about some emotions in us, amen. All her children died. They had were a part of what took place there in Job 1. Job's health is failing now. Everything has crumbled. Absolutely everything has crumbled. And we find in Job 2, it says in verse number 1 again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. So Satan's there. He's already done a bunch of stuff. He's back now talking to the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Well, yeah, that's how this whole thing started. Amen. That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil. That means runs from it, amen. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, hallelujah. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bones and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hands, but save his life." Now, think of this. He was just given more freedom to affect Job. And what's the first thing we see Satan do? Verse number 7. So he went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, smote him with health issues now. Second, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity?" Satan left from that with all this new freedom he has to affect Job. First thing he does, touch his health. Second thing he does is touch the lips of his wife. I said to my wife a couple times, "I think you're being used by the enemy." She doesn't really like that. And I get it. And I would never do that just to manipulate. But there are some times that the words that have come from her mouth are harmful, not helpful. Can I say that's probably true of myself as well? And I'm fine if she would remind me of the same thing, amen. Jesus reminded Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's what he said to Peter. Sometimes in the moment, we don't think about what we're doing. What was Job's wife thinking when she said, "You know what? You ought to just curse God and die"? That is never good advice. But in the emotion, we are very susceptible to be used by the enemy. And we want to be very careful of that. Amen. This whole section was used to show how women, you ladies in here, got to be very careful of this. Is there any woman in here that says, "I want to be used by Satan"? Anybody? No ladies? Then you're going to be very careful that you're not used by Satan to deceive your husband, to lead your children astray, to say words that are discouraging, not encouraging, to slander people, to get all emotional about something, because this, you're going to have to be extra special careful, because in the Bible, the women are more susceptible to that than the men. The men absolutely can find themselves there, but the typical is the woman finds herself there first, and then brings the man to it, includes him, puts pressure on him. Men, we are stronger to stand against Satan than we are to stand against women. Is that crazy? We are stronger. We can go toe-to-toe. I've told my wife this before. I can stand in this pulpit. I can preach. I can handle just about, it seems anyway, anything that comes at me. Wickedness, all that. People talking about me, whatever, behind my back, all that, all fine and good until it's my wife. And when it's my wife, man, it's a killer. Amen? And the devil knows it. Amen? So this whole section to say that let us be careful in that area. A lot of other stuff here we'll skip except for look down and note the second note towards the bottom. It says, the Bible speaks of silly women being particularly vulnerable to false teachers. False teachers look for silly women. Do you know what silly here means? It literally means little. Little in understanding. Silly is derived because people typically laugh at what they don't understand. And so they're silly because they're immature. They're silly because they don't get it and they live in a kind of a mode where things just don't, they're not important. False teachers prey on silly, immature women. Amen? And it notes here, think about all the false religions that if the silly women sat down, I mean, the Pentecostal movement would be over. I'm not trying to be mean, but that's how it starts. And you're preyed upon. That's why in this church, we believe you as women need to absolutely strive to know the scriptures as well as any man. Join our FBI, right? Faith Bible Institute. Get involved. Learn the scripture. It's the truth that will make you free and will keep you from being led astray as a silly woman who's immature. Amen. So praise the Lord. Thank you for this, just being able to wrap that up. Amen. If you're just jumping in, I'm sorry. But we're going to start next week on soul winning, Brother John. Give us a preview real quick.
Well, at this point, we've went over the process biblically of leading a person to Christ, a person coming to understanding of their lost condition and recognizing Christ as the source of their salvation. Now, I think we're going to fast forward a little bit and get into dealing with a lot of the false doctrines and questions that we encounter. And really the importance of understanding the original. Frank Abagnale Jr. Was a famous counterfeiter and turned to the FBI to become one of their leading fraud authorities. And one of the things that he explained to them is, don't study the fakes, study the originals. When you see a fake, you'll know it.
Amen.
And that's what we need to focus on, is knowing Christ, the original, the author, and then we'll know, we'll have the answers to combat false doctrine.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. God, thank you for today and we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for all the work you're doing in our midst, Lord. And we praise your holy name for the opportunity to be at church today. I pray you take control of the service to follow, be with the preaching, be with the singing, be with just our interactions with each other. I pray that we would be a help to each other today and we would encourage each other. Thank you, God, for how you work in our midst and who you bring us, God, to know and how you use people to be a blessing one to another. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you for our church. Pray you bless now this day richly in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.